Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Running the Point with Jason Carey on the ATL Podcast Network, the intelligent podcast. All right, man, let's get into this thing. Running the Point with Jason Carey, the intelligent podcast. So glad to be here. So glad you guys are tuning in. Appreciate everybody that listens. I always like to start off with appreciating the people that listen, because, you know, we're competing for ears. Everybody's competing for ears, competing for listens.
Oh, that's and what's happening.
The fact that you take the time to listen to me means a lot to me. So I always want to start off and appreciate. It's like saying the grace before you get into into right. The meal.
Eatery.
So I want to thank you guys for doing that. Anyway, I have a guest, and again, you guys, I started doing this where I can introduce the guests, but I'd like to have them say who they are or introduce themselves the way they would like to be introduced, because I'm sure he gets introduced wrong all the time. So, Daniel, if you wanted somebody to introduce you, what would you say?
Well, first of all, I just want to be clear. I hate to introduce myself. That's something I do not enjoy doing, because it, to me,
feel like you tooting your own horn.
Yeah, it feels a little horn tooty, and then I'm never gonna actually do myself justice.
Truth.
So you know what I'm saying? It's actually probably, and so one of my clauses in my speaking arrangements and things of that nature, I'm not going to introduce myself. We're not gonna do that mic where you tell everybody about yourself.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna tell you like 1/5 of who I am.
Yeah.
And then when you find out about the other 4/5, you're gonna be like, oh, why can't you didn't tell me that? How come you didn't say that?
I need to add that in my clause.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not introducing myself.
I'm terrible.
But in this moment, just for the humor of it, my name is Mr. Daniel Dickey. I am a brand strategist. I am a civil rights activist.
Mm.
I am a singer songwriter, and I am a game changer.
There it is. See that, and you know what? That was enough.
No, it wasn't. Like,
it
was
enough. Now, when we get to the conversation, because I actually want people to go and do a little more research anyway. You know what I'm saying? But I am just like you. I'm the worst at telling people. Like, somebody be like, man, this is Jason Carey, he does this, but listen to him, he'll tell you what he do. I'm like, no, why don't you tell him, please? Because
I'm just like, let me just reduce it down to maybe a couple of, like, something chewable, because if it was me, really, then that would be like that would be a dissertation.
It's very too long. So we're gonna get into this thing here on Running the Point, man. You've done a lot, and we've been passing each other in circles and connected for a long time, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, we've probably known each other like 6-7 years, which is wild.
Yeah, triple OG status for Atlanta.
Definitely for Atlanta. And you worked with brand strategists, civil rights activists. We're going to get into that, because that's a new one. That's a new bullet point. But we're going to get into that.
I sent you my bio. I
read it. So I see the correlation, but...
Okay.
It don't say civil rights activist. It say it in a way.
Okay, sure. Okay, gotcha.
So, and you work with some of the top brands in the world. You work with some of the biggest names, stars on the brand strategist or PR side, and been navigating the game. What's the biggest thing? Your biggest takeaway right now? Like, what have you learned? Your biggest nugget, I guess, of knowledge from just being in the PR game? Because I got something to say about the PR game, especially in Atlanta. So what have you learned?
Well, I don't know if it's anything that I learned, or maybe it's just something that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that at the end of the day, for the PR game, and I'm going to do air quotes and stuff like that.
Please,
you know, just for those tuning in at home, air quotes happen when I said the PR game. I think essentially is, if you aren't making news, you aren't doing PR effectively. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's we'll just go right there. If I can't Google who you are, who your client is, and see news articles, then you aren't doing PR. You're hanging out with people.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just do that. Like, that's the biggest thing.
And that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is my take on the PR game in Atlanta. It's so full of BS. And there's so many people to say, I do PR, more air quotes. I think this would be the air quote episode.
Yeah, let's make this the air quote moment.
And And some of the, those people I know, and we're, I'm cool with them and friends with them, some of them, but I look at them and be like, no, what you're doing is not technically PR. What they are doing is PR.
Right,
you
right.
You can point to some people.
Not necessarily what you're doing, but them.
Them.
They're doing PR.
Yeah, and if you want to learn, watch them. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. I mean, being in the game for myself, people have approached me, be like, yeah, I'd be in PR, do some PR for you. I'm like, if you don't know more people than I do, if you can't introduce me to anybody, it's a problem. It's no, it, I can do my own PR. If you can't get me into something that I can't get myself into, again, I'm doing my own PR. If I can write my own headlines, it's just, thank you, but I don't need your services.
Sure. I mean, but you know what the thing is, though, is when I look at PR, when I look at all of that it is, it's, you know, of course, it's public relations, it's how you relate to the public, and then how you use media to shape your public persona and things of that nature. And if you aren't doing that through news, and if you aren't doing that through blogs, if you aren't doing that through that person's story being shared on platforms that you have nothing to do with, that you did not pay to be on, then you aren't doing PR effectively. Key. But it that speaks to me, that speaks to a deeper, more ever-present issue with everything. And I think people are cool with faking it a little bit more in life.
In life.
Nowadays, and so it's not the it's not something that I look at as a PR thing. I look at it as a life thing. You know what I'm saying? Like you know that the rappers are renting the cars, they're renting the money. Like everything is very cosmetic.
Rent the rims for the weekend.
So it's so PR. It's just a part of the cosmetic nature of what's happening in this city and in all the other major cities. You know, in the U.S. and across the globe. That's so, you know, these are global issues with perping and faking moves, or the old school one, faking jacks.
Faking jacks.
Yeah. Faking jacks.
I will take that. That's, you know what, that's a good one right there. That is, it really is just a product of what's happening across the board. So it's not just a PR issue. It's a global issue. That is a better perspective on that. I appreciate that. I'm going to take that with me.
Yeah.
And then I'm be like, listen, don't take part in this global bullshit.
I
want you to be opposite of the global bullshit.
The bullshit is global.
On all levels. Speaking of global, you are a songwriter, but also an accomplished singer, and you have finally released some music, released a single. A couple singles?
Gearing up. But what I have released is I've released the SoundCloud. And you guys can go there at SoundCloud/ Mr. MR Daniel Dickey. And so that's me sharing music with the world for the first time in probably 8 or 9 years.
And that's true, because as long as I've known you, as we just said, you're like, he has never
talked about singing or, no, definitely.
At all. So now you talked about writing. So I know you was writing, but it's the fact that you're releasing, I'm like, you talking about release? All right. I love it. Let's go with it,
man. Yeah, definitely.
So go ahead, everybody, visit the SoundCloud and get into Mr. Daniel Dickey and see what he's talking about. So
he's talking about love, though. I can tell you before we weren't even to do a prequel to it. He's talking about love.
You talking about love?
Yeah.
Hey,
that's what I'm talking about.
We need more of that. I was talking. Yeah. I had a conversation with a family member today about love, man. So now, I'll talk about your bio, and then I'll get into my jump ball here. There's one thing that stuck out. Chairman of the Young Professional Influencer Advisory Board for Hosea Feed the Hungry and the Homeless.
Yes.
It's a long title. It's long. That's saying a lot.
That's how you know you're dealing with a live nigga, when the title is extra long. Like, you know what I'm saying?
In my notebook, it is 3 lines.
Yeah, that's always cut. A couple levels to this whole title thing.
I was like, Jesus. But talk about that a little bit, because that's something I didn't know about what you were doing. So chairman of the Young Professional Influencer Advisory, talk about that a little
bit. Well, Hosea Feed the Hungry and Homeless is an organization that was started by Reverend Hosea Williams, a civil rights icon who has streets named after him here in Atlanta. And he was one of Martin Luther King's bulldogs in the civil rights movement. And so this organization's goal is to champion homelessness in a city where those numbers are ever growing. And then the age is ever decreasing. Like at this point, like the average homeless person is 12 years old. So that's
wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Average.
Yeah. And that's an age before you're able to make your own decisions. Mm-hmm. That's an age before you're able to be like, okay, I'm about to go work and get this money. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's a real issue. It's a real problem. It's like we look at homelessness a lot of times as that dude that's on the exit, you know what I'm saying, with a can. Yeah. But no, it's not. There's some kids that are literally going without food and they're eating. The only meals that they eat during the day are going to be the ones that they eat at school. Mm-hmm. So, and we're coming into the summer now. Mm-hmm. So their needs are going to increase because correct. They don't got breakfast at school and lunch at school. And to me, so that's, you know, that's civil rights activism. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Making the playing field level to where you know that everyone that is around you is actually eating and is going to have their three meals. Because at the point that, you know, we're wondering why these kids are disrupting classes, and at the point that we know we're wondering why these kids are breaking into cars and breaking into houses and all of those kinds of things. Desperate times call for desperate measures. And if you don't know where your next meal is coming from, something's got to give. And if you weren't equipped with the ability to make good decisions and have the good home training and all of those kinds of things as a part of what your situation is, mm-hmm. and then you're trying to figure out how to survive, then you're probably going to go in a direction that's going to take you below sea level mm-hmm. as it relates to criminal activities instead of, that's true. Not a kid that's going to be like, oh, okay, well, you know, it's time for me to start trading stocks and bonds. You know what I'm saying? No, it's not stocks and bonds. It's Glocks and Glocks and bail bonds.
For real.
Yeah. And so that's where that kind of work comes in for me. I think that it's a passion of mine because it's to know that the hierarchy of needs, the number one thing is it's food, water, and then shelter. Mm-hmm. And so if we aren't doing food good for people in a city and in a that land Maslow's that is the land of opportunity.
Is that Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
Oh, yes, exactly. Okay, food, then water, then shelter.
Should I throw that out there that we're just an intelligent podcast. We talk like this, Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so so that's what that's about. And so my goal and my role is to engage young professionals, the emerging, the millennials, the people that are just coming into the professional space, and to get them about the philanthropy of giving back to the city in a way that we know there's a need and we know that there's a problem. Like, mm-hmm. you know, so, and it's very tangible, you know, indeed. At the point that you know somebody's hungry and you feed them, that's, you know what I'm saying? That's good work.
Yeah. Complete.
Yeah.
Just on this one-to-one. Uh-huh,
exactly.
Here.
Hungry, feed them. You know, and so that's the role. But then the goal also is with that organization because they were started, you know, right around, you know, on the heels of the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. And so my goal is to make the organization a little younger, a little fresher. You know, a lot of times with our organizations, as the executive directors and as the people who started those organizations die, the organizations also start losing their momentum and stuff like that. So to infuse some new momentum into an organization that's been around for a long time.
With that, what you're saying right now, I also I task you with making that a process. You saying making it younger, like saying, all right, I did this, and this to make it younger. Reason I say that is because you see that happen just in families. Think about family reunions.
Yeah.
It was started when you was a kid.
Right.
But as the cousins get older, they don't come back no more.
Yeah.
And you're like, how do we continue tradition and make tradition important in our community and for young African Americans? I think that's one of the things we need to make a process.
Yeah, but I don't think it's cousins though. I think that process, it starts with grandma. Mm. And it ends with grandma. When grandma dies, that's when that you almost lose like a whole piece of the family because they're that motivating force that brings everyone together.
Correct.
And so the whole family's just waited on grandma to do it. So now when grandma's gone, no one's doing that connecting. I mean, you know, your grandma and your grandpa are the ones who make sure you know that that's your cousin.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're the ones who let you know, like, before you smash shorty, that last name, Longley, and the Longleys is...
That's real.
Yeah. So yeah, it's when we lose our grandparents, that's when we lose whole branches of our family because no one else.
But how do we renew that branch? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? How do we renew that driving force? And a lot of times, like just using the family reunion example, when grandma goes, then you have these little individual families, and supposedly our parents are now the grandparents.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And they are.
So it's bigger
aren't connected.
Bigger connection seems to go by the wayside. I tell people all the time that I don't get to see my cousins as much as I did growing up, mm-hmm. being all the way down here. I'm miles away from them, 700-800 miles away from them. And we used to get together, but even then we still got together for holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma passed away. We kept the tradition going of going to our aunt's house, but now that I'm gone, it's like, all right, I ain't seen my cousin in 2 years. And I said, mm-hmm. we talk, but I ain't seen him in two years.
See, but they all seen each other, so maybe you just the one who fell off.
Yeah, maybe that. It's
my
fault.
Yeah, you fell off. You just fell off.
Yeah, okay. Jason's fault. Okay, so getting into, let's get into the jump ball, something that it's going to sound childish.
That's okay.
When I say this, it's going to sound childish, but
I've had a long day.
But,
it's cool.
But it's real, and there's some childish results coming from it. So you've heard this saying, listeners, Daniel, you've heard this saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me.
Okay.
That could be a true statement or not.
Yeah.
So
it's definitely
being you
not.
Coming from you being in this, in that space, PR, brand management.
That's false. Yeah,
go ahead.
That's false.
It's false?
Yeah, definitely.
Why is it false?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, those are conflicting logics, because what we know is, because I'm a believer. God sits at the head of my life. He's the one who throws every alley-oop that I've ever caught.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the day, if we know that life and death is in the tongue,
mm-hmm.
then we know that the words have power. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that power is power that you can manifest for positivity, and then words are also something you can manifest for negativity. Just think of all the kids that have issues, from daddy issues to mommy issues to issues with men or issues with women, mm-hmm. and all those kinds of things because of something that someone said to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Those are those fuels that send people into greatness sometimes, mm-hmm. or send them into oblivion.
Correct.
So, yeah, no, it's not even a question of whether that's a case. That's absolutely false.
And this is why I said it's going to sound childish, because that sounds so elementary, that we know that in this instant where you just gave some glaring examples where words are impactful, why do we still not read? Why do we still take information from people that just told them that? You just told them some words, and then you went and shared the bullshit. Didn't even go check to see if it was real. The prime example of that is our digital age. You go on Facebook, and they be like, oh, man, Lena Horne died.
Right.
Did you read it? Because you know Lena Horne died years ago, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That happens on your page all the time. People be like, rest in peace. And you be like, y'all didn't pay attention to that, did y'all? Because that person died 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another glaring example of people not paying attention to the words. The words are important.
Yeah, but just people aren't paying attention to anything, though, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where we're in a space now where people will comfortably tell you, oh, my bad, man, I wasn't paying no attention. And to me, my staff, I eat them alive for even having the thought of saying anything like that. Mm-hmm. My staff don't get to tell me I don't know. Because information is at the palm of your fingers, mm-hmm. at every point. You work in front of your computer.
Supercomputer in your hand.
Like, how do you not know?
Yeah.
So it's we're in a space now where things are, if it didn't come via some digital platform, mm-hmm. That was not fact-checked, then it didn't come to most people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but so that just speaks to a lot. I mean, I could go on and on about all of this kind of stuff. But we're in a space, perfect. And we're in a time and a space now where people aren't paying attention. Mm-hmm. People aren't looking to be studied and mm-hmm. measured in their work.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't focused on results. People aren't chasing greatness in any way at all. Where we are. Because
we're rewarding mediocrity, which was a whole nother show we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We definitely talk about that here. Going further into just the usage of words, because there's so many angles to this.
Mm-hmm.
When I started off talking about just reading. We're talking about people not paying attention.
Yeah, exactly.
Across the board. But then you have people that, I live by a code that your best friend has a best friend. Mm-hmm. And people are like, what? I say, your best friend got a best friend. What does that mean? That means keep your damn mouth shut,
mm-hmm.
because you sharing information with somebody and then it goes somewhere else and you're like, man, why'd you tell that? And I'm like,
uh-huh.
Well, you confided. You know they have somebody they're confiding in too, right? that happens. And so I tell people, keep your mouth shut. Mm-hmm. Now, that's hard for us to navigate, and that's what we'll talk about a little bit more in this discussion. It's hard for us to navigate because, for on one hand, we're like, you just talked about Hosea Feed the Hungry. You need to pass on this information, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to keep talking about it. But on the other side, in our culture, we're taught that you didn't see nothing, don't say nothing. How do we navigate that? How do you navigate those two sides of you didn't see nothing, don't say nothing, but also, hey, man, you need to tell everybody about something like Hosea Feed the Hungry or about the shelters that are going on or some of the programs that are out there. How do you navigate that? Because I think some people find that as a challenge.
Yeah, I don't find that as a challenge at all. To me, I think that our words are one of our first architects. Mm. Like one of our first builders, of our first things that moves things forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, it's the power of life and death in the tongue. And so if your words aren't architecture, if they aren't building something, if they aren't constructing something that's going to stand after you, you know, then you should probably keep your mouth closed. You know what I'm saying? I think one of those streams of consciousness is talking about gossip and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something I don't have time for it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just legit, like, I don't have time.
True.
And so, yeah.
Why don't most more people don't have time? But I wonder. I always say, one of the last podcasts was I Don't Care. One of the things I didn't talk about, or should I care more? One of the things I did talk about is I don't care about everybody else's business. I don't care about how you're moving. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't really have time. I always say, if you got that much time to be worried about what somebody else is doing, you need to get some business.
Well, now, I think that we should care. Mm-hmm. I think we should care what our brothers and sisters are up to. But tea, gossip, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
that's not profitable to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, so I care what you're up to in the most productive sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't care that you, you know, you
had eggs for lunch.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I don't care that you had a hangover last night from your situation, all that kind of stuff like that. But I care about your endeavors, what you're looking to do professionally, what ladder you're looking to climb in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we should be more dialed in about with mm-hmm. our brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of my missions for 2017 is to be a bit more connected to my brothers and sisters, more specifically my brothers, my black brothers, specifically. Mm. We are the most endangered species, and typically endangered species usually fly off and get a whole island where they just focus on each other and the survival of their species.
Correct.
And things of that nature. And we also know in the hunting logic that what you do is you divide the pack so you can pick them off one by one.
Mm-hmm.
And black men are the most divided people on the earth.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? We every one of us, well, y'all, because I'm 2017, I'm stepping situation up.
You're separating now.
Yeah.
Super
dance. Yes, yes. And so, but yeah, every one of our egos, the male ego, especially the black male ego, and this is a part of the oppression that was created to keep us in these prisons that they keep us in, where we don't reach out to our brothers and sisters. Every dude is waiting on the other dude to call the other dude. You know what I'm saying? And you guys are probably all, you can all say it. Like, you know, you met somebody, you thought they were cool, y'all exchanged information. So now both of y'all waiting on the other one to call. So you guys are talking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so because you weren't talking, then we aren't producing. And because we aren't producing, we aren't really setting ourselves up to ascend and climb out of these prisons that they built for us to be in, related to how our egos and our testosterone and all that, our trust issues keep us from bonding.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because if united we stand, divided we fall, that sounds good. It's something we use on our teams and every type of team, from sports teams to work teams. But we are so still very divided.
And you know what? To your point about that, I think that goes back to, again, talking about words. That's a learned behavior. That's a masculinity that you're kind of taught. Because one thing we're taught is to play with trucks, to fight, play in dirt. The thing as men we're not taught is to love. We're not taught how to love.
To talk, express.
Correct. Mm-hmm. That's not something you got to learn that later on. And then you're going to learn to express with your fist, or you learn to express with your mind, or with words. And sometimes, unfortunately, people learn the wrong way. You know,
yeah. Words is the one that usually people take off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Correct. Sure. Correct. So that's where the importance of words does it does come in. You said something very profound. You said if words were architecture, so it's built to, you need to have words that are building something.
Yeah.
And that's key. Right. Yeah. If you're taking notes, y'all listening, y'all taking notes, write that down.
Mm-hmm.
But what you just said about you meet somebody and they're cool and you guys don't really talk.
Yeah, you just maybe write information. Note. Maybe you feel that, yo, man, we had the king out sometime. Yeah. You know what I mean? That might be. And so sometimes you might leave it there. A lot of times in social interaction, you'll see that. And then the people still won't ever talk. Yeah. Hey, man, we have to hang out sometime. And then both of the people are just waiting by the phone for the other one to call. Like, no one wants to put themselves out there. No one wants to be the trailblazer. No one wants to be the person who moves the needle forward.
Correct.
But I think we all have to be the person that moves the needle forward. Mm. And I have it's actually one of the things that I'm working on is the 51%.
Mm-hmm.
The 51% model, the 51% rule, the 51%. And so I feel like if everyone is willing to invest 51% into their relationships, mm-hmm. they'll have more quality relationships, they'll be more connected, they'll know more about what's going on with the people that they know and love.
Major.
Like, not 50-50.
When they come through and drop the jewels.
Yeah.
Man. So I'm going to buy the bell tonight. That's
yeah.
We talk about we supposed to have a jewel bell. Every time a jewel's drop, we can hit the bell.
Oh,
we
don't
have,
people wouldn't hear me talking out. Put on.
Jewel bell in here.
Yeah.
So I did want to, before we get out of this conversation, because I think it's an important conversation. That's what the podcast is about. It's about sparking this conversation. We want people to leave
and
talk about, you know what? I didn't call my brother. I just made a note. It's a guy that I need to call.
Yeah.
And when you said that, I was like, you know what? I've been meaning to call the guy.
Yeah.
But you just said something. You're like, we talked earlier this week, but I haven't had a chance to get back to him, but you reminded me that I need to call him. So that's what it's about. It's about starting the conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And being the person that's not afraid to light the fire. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone's not going to be that person who lights a fire. Some people are just there to put gas on the fire. That's what gossip is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just putting, they just come in with some gas, keep something burning.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who's willing to light fires of positivity and productivity, those are the people that are treasured amongst their social groups,
mm-hmm.
And all of those kinds of things. And those are also the kinds of people that are, you know, I feel like are those beacons and those light bringers that really bring about change in the world.
Leaders. Use your words. That's always a joke. Use your words. But that's what we're saying to you guys, to the listeners, that words are important.
Yeah.
Use your words.
And the thing is, and this is something that's been on me this week, more so specifically, is the need for those words. Like, people really do need to hear from you. Like, anyone that's listening to this podcast, there's probably three people in your life, in your space, that actually are just wanting someone to call them and be concerned with how they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm
saying? Genuinely.
So, yeah,
because we say how you doing as a checkbox.
Yeah.
But
and
real
so,
talk.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be probably three people in each person's life that will hear this that need to hear from them. And what we're noticing now is we're noticing the suicide rates are increasing.
Mm.
They're growing and it's
those
and it's,
are getting younger too, right?
Huh?
I think that age is getting a little younger.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, these little kids now, they're not used to losing at anything because they don't keep score.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I went to a game, and the one team was beating this other team to a pulp.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, it was like the Cavaliers versus Boston.
Oh,
like,
God.
At the end of the game, they held up trophy. Everyone was like, yay. One of these teams needs to be like, wow. We got murked. We need to be in the gym. Do not leave the gym until you can hit 100 jump shots. You know what I'm saying? But that's not where we are now. So people don't have that, the endurance and the stamina to withstand what life is guaranteed to bring them.
Look, and that's two more podcasts you just mentioned, because there's a greater impact of that.
Yeah.
I see that in the product. Later on, and you look, and people complain about the college game and all that, but we can get into all of that.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into that
right
now.
Moral story, call your people, call someone. Someone dropped into your spirit, someone dropped into your head this week, and that's the person you need to call. If you're ever wondering how to figure it out, it's that person where it's like, I wonder what JJ is doing, or I wonder what Chris is doing, or I wonder what Tammy
call
is
them.
Doing. Yes,
hit them up.
Yeah, give them a call.
To your point, I'm going to give somebody, this is something that we're doing in my circle, and it's something that I started with my homeboys. Again, I said I'm away from my friends, away from my family. Well, we all are big sports fans, but we have all different teams. We like baseball. One of the things I want to do is go to all the stadiums in the league.
Baseball stadiums?
I love. Yeah.
Snooze alert.
You just don't understand the sport, but that's cool.
No, I do understand the sport, but baseball is the only sport that you can go to and take a real live conference call while you're sitting
not
in the
true.
Stadium.
Not true.
Like, yes.
If you're into the game, it's not true.
No, no, no.
Because there's something happening.
There's
something
no
happening on every game. It's chess on grass. But we'll talk about that later.
Oh, God, yes.
We'll talk about
Bad
that later.
People getting struck out. By the time you're watching the other team pitch a no-hitter at your spot, that's a disaster.
There's a mentality for every
sure,
play.
Sure, sure.
But anyway, we'll get into that. So what we're doing, and I'm going to give this to the people, we set up where we're going to meet at these different stadiums. I'd be like, all right, you like the Chicago White Sox? Meet me in Chicago. We're gonna go to the game. My boy likes the Dodgers. I'm gonna meet him in L.A. And just a way for us to see each other, and because we'll talk, but we might go a year or so and not see each other at all. So that's just a way for us to see each other, find a common ground. For like you said, you got people out there that's your friends or whatever. Find a common ground, meet up. It don't necessarily have to be at a bar or a baseball game, but it could be something that you guys like to do. Both of you like to do, use that as a common ground. It's just something I want to get at you guys. You can start thinking about it. Before I get out of here, the Resource Guild. The Resource Guild. I thought you were. Is that new? It's a new name for that? Because I know you had the company for that.
My agency's existed for 4 years.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're. In fact, it'll be 4 years September.
Okay.
This is our fourth year.
Gotcha.
So, were you in what you call new?
Well, were you. At any time, were you working with the Garner Circle?
Yeah, I was the vice president of the Garner Circle.
I thought so. Okay.
6 years.
I thought so. And so in 4 years, it's new to me. Let's say
that. Sure, sure, sure.
So that's that title. I was like, all right, I know.
4 years, that's long enough for people to graduate from college.
Yeah.
Just America for those tuning in.
I know he was dealing with the Garner Circle at one point. So I saw that. So congratulations 4 years later. So what? Graduation from college. There it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Congrats on that. So outside of the music, that's the big thing. First of all, give your social media if somebody wants to follow you on the gram
it's
right now.
At Mr. Daniel Dickey, MrDanielDickey, and I'm at Mr. Daniel Dickey on everything. From
you
Twitter to Instagram to SoundCloud. And just as a branding tip, your username should actually be the same on every platform.
That's why I asked that question.
Continuity is a key to branding. McDonald's has never changed their logo.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. All the iconic brands, Nike is not a new swoop. Yeah, no. So, yeah, consistency is very important to branding.
Consistency is important. It's so much more for us to continue to talk about, but I want you to follow Daniel. Go to the SoundCloud. We're going to be doing this right here on ATL Podcast Network. You can follow that, ATLPN.com. Also, follow ATL Podcast Network on Instagram. Follow Jason804 on Instagram. And every Monday, IBNX Radio, JC Squared on the air, 7 to 9. Make sure you tune into that. We're going to keep doing this thing, man. I appreciate you being here.
Oh, we're done?
Hey, man. It's it, man.
Oh, jeez. It's so fast.
I'm telling you.
Why is it so fast?
Hey,
why,
man.
Is there rules to podcast timing?
We could talk for a long time, but you know what? That's enough. Because I think we have proven that statement in the beginning, sticks and stones may break your bones. We already know that was incorrect. We knew that from the start.
Yeah, so I feel like we wasted that time.
We could have been talking
about something else.
Hey, listen, we'll talk about that on the next one. That's how I get you to come back. Kind of like
I'm having trouble. I just need America to know that I'm having trouble coming to grips with the fact that this podcast is ending right now. What is going on? Like, hello, podcasts last forever. I feel like did we solve anything?
That's what we talk about. See, we started a conversation. That's what we solved. Starting a conversation with y'all, and I love it. Y'all come back.
Listen to us. We didn't even talk about who's going to win the championship this year.
Run to the point with Jason Carey.
Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.